public schools is one of the most important fights we face right now as progressives. And we have here with us today one of the local leaders and national leaders of the fight to save public education, the Dean of the School of Education at Edgewood, leader of the National Opt-Out Movement, and here to introduce a national leader of the civil rights movement, the movement to save public education, who is straight from the picket line in Seattle, I would like to introduce Tim Slecker.
Thank you. Quick introduction. The quickest way to fight back to get our schools back is to recognize one thing and one thing simply, is that children are more than a test score. When you realize that first and foremost, you will get back the public schools. They are more than a test score, which leads me to our guest, Jesse Agopian. I met Jesse 3 years ago from Seattle. His high school, Garfield High School, was the first high school in the country to have 100% of their teachers refuse to give the high-stakes tests that labeled their kids failing. Jesse Agopian is the author of the book, More Than a Score. After he talks, he'll be over at the Haymarket stand. Jesse, come on out, buddy. It's up to you, man.
Oh, it's wonderful to see you all out here today. I've made the pilgrimage here, and it's been great to see your city here because my dad actually went to the university here and began his career in organizing the Black Student Union and fighting against the war in Vietnam, a tradition that I'm proud to finally get to see where he started. And I am fresh off the picket lines in Seattle, where I joined 5,000 of my colleagues. And we walked out to demand a school system that our students deserve. And they said that we haven't been teaching for the last week, but I disagree. I disagree because I think we were teaching the greatest lesson we could ever teach to our students. I think we were teaching the greatest lesson we could ever teach to our city and to this nation, that solidarity can win, that collective struggle can achieve social justice. Because we walked out in a strike of the Seattle educators to fight for an incredible list of demands that went far beyond our paychecks and our benefits that we were justly fighting for, but was a whole collection of demands to improve the public education system in our schools. And you know what happened? The school board got together in their wisdom and decided that they were going to take the lead of the corporate education reformers. We know them as Bill Gates, the Walmart family that's invested billions in privatizing our schools and pushing high-stakes testing, the Eli Broad Foundation that's doing the same, using their wealth to reduce the intellectual and emotional process of teaching and learning to a single score that they can use to punish our children, to punish our teachers, and to punish the schools and our school board. Instead of listening to the educators standing up to try to transform and create a just school system, they listened to these corporate reformers, and they passed a resolution giving the superintendent the right to sue the teachers, to sue the heart and soul of our school system. And this is what they wrote in that decision. They said, quote, "A strike for any reason by district teachers or other personnel is harmful and damaging to the district, our students, and our community." These members of the school board didn't walk the picket line, you can tell, because actually the greatest community I've ever seen was created at the picket line at Garfield High School and at the schools all across the city when a group called Soup for Teachers formed. A parent who ran a soup business in Seattle started a Facebook page. And she said, "Who will join me in delivering food to the picket lines for our striking educators who are doing this for our students?" And 3,000 parents later, they reached every single school to deliver food and soup and sustenance and solidarity to the educators of Seattle to let them know that our struggle was their struggle. And why did they join us in this fight? They joined us in this fight because One of our central demands was a demand for caseload caps for our psychologists, for our counselors, for our speech and language pathologists, so that they could give the individual attention that our students deserve. You know, at Garfield High School, where I teach, we have 100 homeless students, right, in the glittering city of Seattle, right, in the shadow of Amazon and Microsoft and Boeing, right, and Starbucks, and how many other massive corporate behemoths can I name? And yet Seattle's biggest high school, our flagship high school, has 100 homeless students, and we have counselors that have 400 students on their caseload. How can they possibly give the individual attention, the social and emotional support that our students deserve with those caseloads? That's why we were on the picket line. We were on the picket line because we believe that Black Lives Matter, and we had a demand in the contract negotiation that we actually set up race and equity teams in every single high school and every single school across Seattle. 100% of schools would have a team to deal with the fact that the Department of Education found that Black students are suspended at 4 times the rates of white students for the very same infractions, right? And that's why we were on the picket line, to demand Black Lives Matter. And I'm proud to say the Black Lives Matter movement came out with a statement saying, "Your struggle is ours. We stand with you 100% in the struggle for an equitable school system and against institutional racism." And I'm proud to say that in this struggle, we achieved something perhaps unprecedented in the history of the teachers' union movement across this nation. We were in a fight for the right for kids to play. And in fact, it's shameful that we have to do this, but a study came out in Seattle that showed that dozens of schools, elementary schools in Seattle, had less than 15 minutes of recess for the kids. And where were those schools? They were concentrated in the schools that serve predominantly low-income students and students of color, because they said, we have to raise the test scores so those kids don't get to play. Those kids don't get the benefit of the social and emotional development that you get when you solve problems on the playground together with your peers, rather than sitting in, filling in bubbles and eliminating wrong answer choices all day long. And so our union came to their aid and came to the demand that parents were making, and we actually bargained in 30 minutes of guaranteed recess in every school across Seattle. And perhaps I'm most proud because you heard that my high school was the first in the country to unanimously decide we were going to refuse to give one of these mind-numbing standardized tests, and we were going to turn towards real education, that we value teaching over testing. And when we took that stand 2 years ago, 7 other schools joined us in that fight, and it spread, and that rebellion convinced our union that they had to take a stand. And I am proud to say that in the current contract negotiations, the tentative agreement that was reached that will be voted on tomorrow, I got to fly back tonight. The tentative agreement that will be voted on tomorrow has 2 provisions around testing. Number one, the district actually has to come to us with the testing schedule at the beginning of the year, and they can't add any high-stakes standardized tests in the middle of the year like they're used to doing. And number two, not a single teacher in Seattle can be judged based on a student's standardized test score ever again. Where did this union power erupt? Well, I would suggest to you that you may have started this movement right here, that your educators right here who walked out and who occupied the state capitol showed us the possibility of solidarity, of union struggle. So while you may be demoralized sometimes in the shadow of Scott Walker, know that that struggle was not in vain, and that the teachers in Chicago took up that struggle when they fought and struck in 2012, and that we have taken that struggle on now in Seattle, and that actually the struggle has just begun. I'm here to tell you today, uprising against high-stakes testing in the history of the United States of America. It may have erupted in Seattle with the MAP test boycott at my high school and then spreading to seven others, but it didn't stop there. What happened was students down in Portland walked out of the high-stakes testing, refusing to take it. And then in Chicago, they walked out. And then in New York, the teachers started refusing to give it. And then we